morning. Praise God. God is good. The blood of Jesus has taken our sins away. And God, by His grace, has put our name in the book of life. And we are called by His name. Wow. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was a joy. I am rejoicing in my heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God. What's your name? What's your name? Is it, yeah. Is it Rockefeller? Toyota? United States of America? What's your name? Einstein? What's your name? I am called by Thy name, O Lord God. That's almost, you can't say it. Hey, in Genesis 5:2, God made Adam and Eve, and it says, and their name was Adam. It doesn't say their name was Adam and Eve. Where did Eve go? She's there, right? She's with Adam. And what name do we have? We are called by the name of Christ. Where's your name? It's kind of buried in Him. We are who we are by God's grace, but the old man is crucified. Now we live, but not me, but Christ lives within me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, died for me. Yeah, last night we had a basketball tournament, 3-on-3 for the kids in the community out in the parking lot. So the basketball hoops will go out there. There's 4 of them, and then they have the tournament. And there were 85 kids from the neighborhood that came. Yeah, beautiful. Is Pastor Gary here? Is Pastor Gary here? Oh, okay. Pastor Gary, you want to give a testimony right where you are? Just stand up and share with us. Okay. Maybe we'll put the picture. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, Pastor Love's in the center. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that picture is Pastor Love. He's there. This is just before the finals at about 7:15 last night. We had 85 kids participating in the basketball tournament. And, you know, from all through the city, even people from York, 2 teams from York came down. We had 12 teams in the tournament. And it was it's part of a vision that actually Pastor Schaller had years ago. You know, he's been telling us about it. And so we've done it actually twice this year. And it's actually, there's a couple people right here that were there last night. And yeah, Kaylee and Jordan. And I just have to say that the team, the ministering is so beautiful when you have a team. And like even with the basketball, Paul Andrelone, Pastor Paul, is gathering the referees together. He's overseeing that. Pat Lynch is like feverishly like putting the brackets together as teams advance. You know, we register at 5 and play at 5:15, and then it all has to develop from there, making sure kids find a slot. One kid that we met mowing his grandmother's lawn in Bel Air Edison, he goes to Towson, he went to Calvert Hall. He shows up, you know, on the streets here. And I mean, on the basketball courts here yesterday, and just is with us, you know, like the whole evening. I don't know when he went home, maybe 11 o'clock when Pat closed the gym last night. But like, this is the vision of the city, of us in the city. And it's fruitful. It's really fruitful. Just door knocking, just the ministry. And we said, like, we started a Bible study in the on Chesterfield yesterday. We just said, we're going to, like, plant ourselves here. We're going to, like, preach the word here. We even said, like, why can't we start a church here? You know what I mean? Why can't we do that, you know, minister the word of God? We had one lady, there was 15 of us at a Bible, 5 on the team and 10 other people that from the Chesterfield there yesterday, and we gave a message. And it was just glorious. And one lady behind me, we're sitting on the porch, and she was behind me. She had the phone up. She was letting someone listen while we were speaking. And then I said, "Do you have any questions?" And she said, "I just got to tell you one thing. I got my friend here on the phone from Harford County. She doesn't want to live anymore. She wants to take her life. And she's here, and today she's heard this, and now she has hope to live." You know, and this is just a spontaneous Bible study that God put on our heart to do 2 weeks ago. And we're just going to believe God we can continue to do this. And the teams, when we go as a team, we felt so anointed and so powerful as a team. We felt like every place that we touched yesterday would be ours. That's the way it was. We had incredible warfare, but we had incredible victory yesterday. So we're just so thankful that we get to do this together, and let's keep going. So,
thank you.
There's a lot to say, but that's it.
Okay? Well, that's a great word.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pastor Gary and the team, Coach Lynch, Jen, the team, Pastor Love, the whole team. You know what I get out of that when I hear that? You know, we are in a world, and the world wants to say something to you. Do you know what they want to say to you? Be afraid. They want to say to you, be afraid. What happens when people are afraid? They live in fear. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Okay, wait a minute. What happens when you live in fear? You turn inward. You know what we just heard? Going outward, that's what we just heard. Go right down a few blocks from here, go on somebody's porch and start preaching with their permission. The woman invited them to preach off the porch. And as he's preaching, somebody's on the phone in Harford County, suicidal. And they hear the message and they make another decision. That's called, you know, that's the work of God. That's the work of grace. This is turning outward. Are you afraid? Go ahead. Think about it. Are you afraid? What are we afraid of? Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Right? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow, that's a good word. I mean, we had fun. We've had fun. This COVID thing has been a blessing for us. It's been an amazing blessing. We've met new people. People see what kind of courage we have. This is normal for us. This is all normal. It's normal to love. It's normal to go. It's normal to serve. It's normal to make, you know, to share. It's normal to believe. It's normal to lift up your eyes and see the field. It's normal. It's God's work. And by the way, I kind of hope that in America, we had our end time seminar Friday. We have one more session this coming Friday. We had a very good turnout. It was a great time. But I kind of feel that that there's a big question in our minds. Are we going to have a revival? Is there going to be a revival in America? Or is the rapture coming? You know, is the rapture coming the day after the election? The rapture comes. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, what is going on in this world? But I believe, I hope, my prayer is that the Christians in America that have the Holy Spirit and the stirring and the courage, we'll speak about it this morning, and have something in their conviction, in their hearts, are awaking, awake the sleeping giant, wake up the believers and realize it's time to stand and have some conviction in our hearts, because these are important days. Okay, amen. Okay, thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Wow, you're very talkative this morning. Huh? You are. It's amazing. Wow. Like very, very talkative, enjoying it very much. Wow. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Well, first, I want to quote a couple of verses to you. We are the church. The church is made up of many members, much diversity, many different people around the world and through the last 2,000 years. And we have the greatest gift given to man. That's the Son of God, who came into this world so we could be like him, conformed to his image. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? To think that what we have is beyond what any of us, anybody at any time, could ever think or imagine. It's greater than what we could ever think or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. What is it we have today? But we have the reality of a relationship with God. When we were enemies, he made us friends. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when we were alienated from him, we were reconciled. When we were lost, he found us. When we were sheep without a shepherd, he shepherded us. When we were without power, he gave us power. When we were without a family, he put us in a family. And he calls us his children, and he is our father. When we were in the slave market of sin, he redeemed us by his blood. Ephesians 1:7. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, he translated us. This is all past tense. It already happened. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1 and verse 13. To as many as received him, to them he gave power. It's a power that is a legal power. We have power to be the children of God. John 1, 12. Born not of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. John 1, 13. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have been regenerated. That means the seed of God is in us. The seed of God, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again by the Spirit of God, Titus 3, 5. Born of the Word of God. The Word of God heard it, believed, and a spiritual thing happened. We were born of the Spirit. John 3 and verse 5 and verse 7. The only way to enter heaven is by being born of God. Otherwise, we are enemies, we are lost, we are without him. Though we bear in our makeup the image of God, we are made in the image of God, but without God we are lost. Genesis 1:27, John 3, verse 36, we are condemned. Mark 9, 43, 45, 47, we will go to hell where the fire is not quenched, where the worm does not die. The worm is the conscience. It does not die. But people are not us, but people that are lost are without God forever and ever. In a way, they become like demons. Demons are lost, not saved. They go to hell. There are demons in a security prison held for the last times, the end days. There is the final judgment, the lake of fire, and that's where all the demons will ultimately go, and also people, tragically. Revelation 20, verse 15, if their name is not in the book of life, then they're not delivered from the second death. What is the second death? That's hell. First death is physical. Second death is the judgment and going into the lake of fire. Where do we learn these things? By nature? No, by the Bible. Nature teaches us that God exists. Nature teaches us things about the invisible world, but we really don't understand it. It must take God revealing it to us. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 must be revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. The natural man does not discern the things of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. There's no way that a natural man could understand God. Thus, we have paganism. We have many religions and philosophies. We have a lot of unbelief. And this is the world that we live in. But John 6:44, if the Father draws you, this is beautiful. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. The Father draws him. Many are called. The Father draws many. Many are called. But do they believe? Will they make the decision? It's their free will decision. And when they decide, they believe. They say, I need it. God works in different ways. We don't understand it. It's God's work. But there's no way somebody can be saved by their own power. It must be the work of grace. It's the work of God. It must be the Father drawing him. And many are called. Now listen, it's not God's will that anybody would perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2, not his will that any man would perish. And so therefore we take the ministry very seriously because we believe it is spiritual and it's a work that's very important in the world. Not natural, it's spiritual. Okay, so you and I have received an incredible gift, salvation. Incredible. Three things I want to say about it. One, it's a new birth. It's the spiritual birth. It's the miracle of God's grace. I've had the privilege of being in many countries in the world. I've never really counted them, but 50 of them or more. I've met believers. There's no way you could ever explain how they became believers except by God's grace. God did it. God saved them. They were a communist and they got saved. They were a Buddhist. They got saved. They were a Hindu. They got saved. They were a Muslim. They got saved. They were a Catholic. They got saved. They were Orthodox. They got saved. They were a Protestant. They got saved. There's no way. You cannot be born into a family and be born automatically with salvation. You have to decide. I asked some unbeliever one time, I said, do you believe? Yeah, I believe I'm Catholic. I was brought up Catholic. Okay. I asked, if you were born in India, probably you would be a Hindu, right? Probably. There's 950 million Hindus in India. If you were born in Saudi Arabia, what would you be? A Muslim. If you were born in Russia, what would you be? Russian Orthodox. What would you? If you were born in Poland, what would you be? Catholic. So are you a believer because of where you were born? Is that why you are a Catholic? Because of where you were born? You're born into that family? Yeah, probably. But you know what Jesus said? It's not according to where you were born. It's according to God and his gift. And it's Christ is the only answer. Because Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead, you know, the communists are dead. I'm not feeling good myself. We're all dying. Christ is the answer. He rose from the dead. You believe in him. That's why you believe in him. And that's the gift of salvation. So you should be a born-again Christian, whether you live in Saudi Arabia, India, Nepal, Tibet, Poland, the United States of America, because if my cat had kittens in an oven, they wouldn't be biscuits. Why? Because their parents determine what they are. And if my cats have kittens, the oven will not make them biscuits. Their parents will make them what they are. And in a similar way, it's only God that can make you a child of God, not your parents. Only God can make you a child of God. And being a child of God, then you have three things. Number one, you have the new birth. Number two, you have a new sense of liberty from sin. That's Romans 6, verse 13. You have a sense of liberty over sin. You're born free. You're born of the Spirit. You're born to love God. You're born to listen to God, like you listen to God. By the way, you can't unborn something. When it's born, it's born. You can't unborn it in nature. When a child is born, you can't unborn the child. You can't unborn the dog. You can't unborn the thing. You could kill it, but you can't unborn it. And in a spiritual way, when you're born of God, you're born of God, you can't reverse it. Yet you're born of God. If you are born of God, you are born of God. And that birth is yours. You are free by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. You are a child of God. And God is your Father, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And God has much to say to you. Number three. And this is the message. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, verse 24, actually in that section, but verse 24, it says this: put off the old man, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, and you put off the old man. It's the verse 23. Put off, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, is it? Okay. And then be renewed in the spirit of your mind, then go to 24, the next part. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it means this: here's my old man, this is my sin nature. This is the old man, this is Adam from the beginning in the Bible who sinned. You put off the new old man and you put on the new man. The new man is from that new birth, that spiritual birth. And that new man is who you are. That's why the days we are living in, these times we are living in, and what is happening in the world that we are part of, this is what I want to share today. That a new man, that new man that dwells in us is Christ in us. And Christ in us is different from the world that we are in. When we say the world, we mean it in the meaning of the Apostle John when he writes in his epistles. The word world, cosmos, is the Greek word cosmos, Let's see, cosmos. And it means, this word means organization. Organization. It's where we get the word cosmetics in English. Cosmetics. Also cosmos, as in the universe, the cosmos. Organization. Putting things in order. Well, the world is that way. The world we live in is actually organized. It has wisdom, it has disciplines, it has intelligence, it has the spirit of the world. We have the wisdom of the world, the way of the world. And it's all organized without God. This is a spiritual world. And it's all organized without God. Why is it organized without God? Because this world is not directed by God. It's directed by what is called the prince of the power of the air, or the God of this world, the world leader, the world ruler, the one that has used man and his abilities, and in the spiritual realm called the cosmos diabolicus, the demonic order of the world that we live in, is organized without worship of God. They worship God, but not the true worship. Jesus comes into the world, but we reject him. Jesus speaks, but the world does not receive him. There's something wrong in the world that we live in. There's something missing. Actually, there's something replaced in this world. God is replaced in this organization that is called the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he loves this world in the sense of people, but and he gave his Son. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus speaking of Moses' rod in the wilderness being lifted up, so he would be lifted up, that he was predicting or prophesying how he would die, that he'd be lifted up into the air between heaven and earth and die on the cross, because the world rejects him. This world is really against God. And yet, and many good things about it, like I love life. I love living here, because when you live with God, there's something more. This is the inner man connected with God. I was an enemy, now we are friends. I was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't have a family. I was an orphan, but now I've been grafted into the family. I'm a co-heir. I was actually a rebel, but now, like, I'm on his team. And now the Spirit of God, which is different from the world, the world spirit. Now, I used to live in Sweden. I was a pastor in Stockholm for a short time, years ago. There was a man there, a Swedish man, an older man, who was in World War II time. During World War II, he did business with the Nazi Germans, and he made mess kits for the army, the Nazi army. And Sweden was neutral in the war, so they could do business and make money with the Germans, and buying and selling and so on. And I asked him, I go, wow, that must have been interesting. Why did you do business with the Nazis? And he said this sentence. He said, I don't know why. It was in the air. It was in the air. It reminded me of what we're saying today. There is something in the air in our world today. It's not Nazi Germany. It's another evil thing that is working in the world. It's against Christ. It's against truth. It's even sometimes against common sense. It's even like absolutely horrible and devastating as to what can happen because of what is in the air. Because Revelation chapter 20, verse 9, it says that Satan is released out of the bottomless pit for a short period of time to deceive the nations. And it says there was a great multitude that went against Christ. This is at the end of the millennial period, if you're eschatology, you know something about it. At the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be released out of the pit for a short time, and he will deceive the nations. It leads me to wonder how deceived the world can be by Satan. It's in the air. Well, what's in the air today? What is being pushed down our throats? What is being propagated in different ways? What's the philosophy? What's taught at the universities? What's in the media? What is happening in the world we are living in? So on and so forth. So there's a preface for the text today. So turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, please. By the way, usually we go to church, we have a really good time, and today is no exception. This will be a good time, a very good time, because it's just true and edifying for us. Do we have many builders here, builders, carpenters, masons, people that could build, put up kitchen cabinets in the kitchen, put up a fence? Do we have builders here? If we do, then you know how important it is to get something square and plumb. Because if it's crooked, you know, then everything goes crooked. I mean, the first thing you want to do is get a reference and get it all square, and then work off of that to make it all square and perpendicular and horizontal, and everything fits so that it's not crooked. But it could be that an inexperienced guy like myself would put up a kitchen cabinet, it's not square, so what do? Put all the others up the way, same way. First one's a little crooked, so it's all right, I'll just put all the others up crooked. Yeah. And as I do that, I've learned this by experience. It's more and more work when something's wrong and it doesn't get straightened out. It causes more and more trouble. And it just doesn't work. It can work. But then people are also like with people. We could have somebody crooked, and then we all start to stand crooked. Guys, this is the way it is. And we say, this is how it is. And we say, no, wait a minute. My inner man is saying something else. I don't agree. I'm sorry. I'm just different. Yeah, you're different. You're the weird one. And everybody's standing crooked. And wants a crooked. And you're the problem. It happens in people stand crooked, think crooked, in business, in government, in a family, and with children, in schools, in life. We can all be wrong. We can be wrong in many ways. In church life, there could be something not right. By the way, this is the time when the church shines. That's what my inner man says to me, and what the Bible says to me, what the Spirit says to me in my heart. This is a good time for us. This is a time when we love. This is a time when we reach out. I was in Laurel, Maryland yesterday, evangelizing with a small team of people, and I talked to a woman who had a poster in front of the post office and so on, and we talked a little bit, and I said, you know, I feel that that people need love today. They need love. And it was like she hadn't heard that in a long time. She hadn't heard that. Like, it was kind of like, yes, I think they do. I go, what do you know about love? She said, well, I had said earlier, do you believe in Jesus? She said, yeah, I think so. Well, she said, I believe what Jesus taught. I said, what did Jesus teach? And she said, to love, she started slow. She said, to love others like yourself. And then there was like a pause, and to love God with all your heart. You know, it was kind of like dredging up like old, like, you know, long forgotten Bible verses, you know. It ministered to me, and I'm thinking, there's so much hatred, there's so much fear in this world. And the inner man, because of your new birth, I understand if people don't have the new birth, then what do they have? They just have the old man. And if the old man is in charge, you're going to have somebody like Ahab in this story. Because this King Ahab is like the fallen nature of man. And so read it with me, 1 Kings 21 and verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, so Elijah is the prophet. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel. Ahab is one of the worst kings in our Bible. He was a murderer, deceiver, idolater. He was a bad guy. His wife was Jezebel, and they had something going on. They murdered a man for his property. And they led Israel in idolatry, in succession of dynasties. And in his, there were 19 kings in the north. Every one of them was an evil, wicked king. It's kind of like the world we live in. That's why we should pray for our leaders. And also, we should vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you to register to vote. Because that's your civic duty. That's biblical. That's what God would say to you. God would say that you're given that's a privilege to be able to vote. That's your responsibility. You know what? How evil succeeds? Just by good people doing nothing. Good people do nothing, and you end up with an evil leader. And then you complain about him, and you wonder why God did that. God will say, why didn't you vote? Why didn't you wake up? Why didn't you do something about it? What do you want to do? You want Ahab? Or what do we have? You might say, yeah, but, you know, Christians, sometimes they're fatalistic. And they just say, like Muslim people, it will be, well, alas, it is the will of Allah. God doesn't like that. He doesn't say everything that happens is my will. He says, would you wake up? Would you act? Would you pray? Would you serve? Would you get engaged? Would you be like me on the earth? Would you have an opinion? Would you have some words? Would you have a message? Would you evangelize? Would you minister? Would you just say, oh, it's God's will? Everything is God's will. No, it isn't. Everything is not God's will. We are to resist evil. We are to make a difference. We are to be salt and light. We are to make a, we're to make a statement. We're to have an opinion. We're to be alert and awake and engage people. That's God's will. Not sleeping. Hey, sleeper, Jonah, the sleeper. He's a sleeper. Awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Ephesians 5:14. Okay, let's go to the story. Here it goes like this. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. And I've said earlier, if that was me, I don't think I want to meet Ahab. I don't want to meet him. I don't want to meet him. But if God tells me, I got to meet him. I don't want to meet Ahab. He and I have nothing to do with each other. He's an evil man. I don't want to meet him. God said, go meet him. So you got to obey God if you're a servant of God. You don't have a choice. You do what God wants you to do. And it's important, apparently. So Elijah, go ahead. Go meet him. And so he could say, I don't know where he is. So God tells him where he is. He goes, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. No excuses. Elijah, go meet him. Whither he has gone down to possess it. And you shall speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? That's a conviction of his sin, because he had just murdered a man in chapter 20 in order to take his garden. You shall speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick your blood, even yours. You're going to die, Ahab, and the dogs are going to lick your blood in the same pool of water where they're going to wash the chariot. By the way, that's what happened in the next chapter. An arrow found its target. Just a guy was shooting arrows like this, shooting arrows, and one of them had Ahab's name on it. And I'm making it up, but it found its target right in between the kink in the armor, right there. Yeah, that arrow was for Ahab. He bled to death in the chariot, and afterwards they washed the chariot in the pool of water. The same pool of water where the man he murdered, his blood was in that pool too. That's what Elijah said. So he went down to say these things to him, and it goes like this, verse 20. Ahab said to Elijah, all right, let's change it. Ahab said to the Christian, the Spirit-filled Christian. And what is a Spirit-filled Christian? He's this. Puts off the old man. He's got the new man. And he's standing straight. And Ahab is crooked like this. Okay. And the Christian is saying, you're wrong. You're wrong. And Ahab says, don't tell me I'm wrong. I got everybody agreeing with me. I got, the world is this way. Our world is this way. And Elijah said, yeah, I know. You're all wrong. You're wrong. That's the world we live in. And so Ahab said, you are my enemy. That's what he says to him here. Look at verse 20. Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? Have you found me? Why did he say, have you found me? Because maybe Ahab, in a way, is hiding from him. You know, when people are crooked, they don't want to meet you. They don't want you to find them. They want to be with the people that are going to be believing their lies. And also, if they meet you, they want to change you. They will either do it two ways. They'll either seduce you, or they'll be angry with you, and they will humiliate you and slander you. They'll either seduce you to be like them, and then we all get leaning this way. We're all this way. We're all this way. But if you have any fire in your belly, any conviction, persuasion in your heart, you can't. I can't do that. I don't agree with that. That's not true. Even it's ridiculous. What you are saying is actually ridiculous. I don't accept it. It can't be. It's not true. And this is in many areas of this world that we live in. The world will say that Jesus was a good man. We say, oh no. Oh no, a good man wouldn't talk like him. God, he said lies unless he is the Savior. That Jesus was either nuts, a lunatic. No man has gone up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. John 3:13. My Father and I are one. I always see the things that he does. John 5:19. How could anybody speak like him? And then he was without equivocation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you be born again. Verily, verily means there's no discussion about it. I am the way, the truth, the life. You cannot come to the Father but by me. I am the only way. Is he a good man? No. Yeah, he's way better. He is the Son of God. They don't like that. Ahab is that kind of a guy. He doesn't like it. Have you found me, O my enemy, Elijah? Let's break this down to something recently I've been thinking about, which is youth conflicts. Youth conflicts is a phrase for young people, 12, 14, 16 years of age, and their personal problems that they have in their hearts, deep inside. Youth conflict. One of them is about their disabilities. I'll put here disability, perception of themselves, appearance. Well, young people are very much caring about how they fit in. Do they belong to the group? About if they have a noticeable, recognizable, distinctive kind of thing. Disability, problem with their learning, maybe their personality, a personality disorder, their temperament. Are they accepted? They have a conflict inside their heart about it, and they wrestle with their identity. By the way, this is where some of this transgender and homosexual stuff comes from. It comes from people who have a struggle with themselves and their acceptance and so on. And they lack the parenting or the oversight or the authority that will help them resolve their conflict. Because the conflict isn't to change their sexuality. The conflict is to realize that God made me in his image. The solution to my problem is Christ. And when I put off the old man and I put on the new man, I find love. And in that love, I have a hunger for God and an understanding that happens in my heart and mind. I might have a speech impediment, but I have accepted myself, and I actually find in my heart a relaxation, an acceptance, a kind of love. And I have people around me with the same thing. With the same spirit. And we're standing straight and we're learning about who Christ is. And it solves my conflict. It helps me in my heart, in my identity. Another youth conflict that young people have is this family problems. The acceptance by their dad or their mom, or their dad doesn't show up. Abandonment. The father's abandoned the son. He's not there. He wonders why. Is it because of me? Maybe I did something. Why doesn't my dad love me? Why can't I see my dad? Where is my dad? Those kind of issues. It's deep. All their lives, kids, young people struggle with these things. You know, when they struggle with them, it's kind of like they could talk to Ahab, and Ahab could say, you know, this is the way it is. You know, this is the way it is. And they could say any number of things. I don't want to try to explain, it's too complicated, but I just want to go over the principle. Do you know how many lies? Do you know how wrong the whole world can be? Do you know how young people can be left alone to try to sort out things and be told that just stand crooked? That's all we can do. There isn't any answer. There isn't any answer. And we are like the message of Christ in the world. For it says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are here in Christ's stead, in his place. How is that? How could we be here in Jesus? Because we have the Spirit of Jesus. We have the words of Jesus. We have the God, the Father of Jesus. He is our Father. We are here to be like Elijah, to say to Ahab, I'm not your enemy. You think I'm your enemy, but I'm the answer for your country. Elijah could say, I'm the answer for Israel. I'm the messenger from God for this country. I am what you are looking for. You might say, well, that's putting a lot upon the prophet. It is, but that's the picture of the church. The church is here to say, when something isn't right, we are here to say, no, that's not true. That's not the way it is. You cannot lie your way into God's reality. You cannot be proud and find God's reality. You cannot live in fear and find God's reality. You cannot manipulate people and find God's reality. You know, I was also thinking in this regard, it only takes a few bad decisions, and we all accept, like, how this wrong thing, we call it right. This is right. It only takes some bad decisions, and my world changes very quickly. And I start following, and I find my people, and we start following the thing that isn't right, and we just start going in that way. And then I lie down in sorrow, Isaiah 50, verse 11. I lie down in sorrow, and I wonder what happened. And God is saying, you need Elijah back in your life. You need God. You need a man of God in your life. You need a message back in your life. Because when you get humble, you just say, Lord, I want it. Help me. I want it. I want it. And God is good to us to give it to us. And in our hearts, okay, my family, the second thing, my family, okay, I have problems with my family. Who, in a way, who doesn't? I mean, it is the way it is. Like, God use it. By the way, if I was born with a disability, what I need to do, listen, Jeremiah 17:5, it says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, trusting in God is the key. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Somebody could have a skin problem or there's some physical problem. They say, why would God give this to me? Why did this happen to me? It's God made you. And God, this is put away the old man. And the new man that you're born of is Christ. And Christ is in you. Walk in him. You will find him. You will know him. And many times when people have these, the ugly duckling syndrome kind of thing, that runt of the litter, the lame little puppy dog, the one that nobody wants, that in human form, that person finding who God is the greatest treasure, the greatest gift, a great, great blessing, and I mean it. I mean, it's real. And that's how we must learn. But the world doesn't say it like that. They just say things, you know, that do not minister to us. I am not the answer. So that's what we're here for as the representatives of Christ in the world. Yeah. Amazing. If you go to the last part of the verse here, it says, verse 20, Ahab said, O my enemy, have you found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found you. Ha ha ha. I have found you. Philosophically, Francis Schaeffer used to say, when he ministered in La Brea years ago, it was amazing to find an intellectual guy that would be just, and he could find that thing, and it would be shocking for the man to be pointed out that's the right there. I hate to do this to you, but your world is going to fall apart. He was able to do it like a precise maneuver. And people would be crumbled and find Christ, turn to Jesus as the only answer for life. And Elijah is able to find you. The pulpit is able to find you. The wise man is able to find you. You know, the answer for life, we're able to find you. This is a great gift. Because I will face reality one day without Christ. I will discover my foolishness and my lies. I lived in a lie, and my world is crumbling before Almighty God. Why not do it now? Why not face Christ now? Why not face God now? Why doesn't my world crumble now? Why don't I face Elijah's message now? Why don't I come to Jesus Christ now? Why don't I humble myself now? I'm going to be humiliated later, and my lie will be found out. Jesus said it this way, the rock will fall on you and grind you to powder, or you will fall on the rock and it will break you to pieces, one or the other. You fall on the rock and you are broken, or you resist it, and later the rock will fall on you and grind you to powder. That's reality and the sin nature of man. Man is a liar day and night, and he doesn't want to meet Elijah. And if he does, he wants Elijah to be quiet or change, or he wants to seduce him and make him like himself. But Elijah's not going to. Guys, this is what is in you and I. Go to the next portion of that. It says, he answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You have sold yourself to believe this lie. You are a liar. You are a liar. I love to say that. I don't know why. You are a liar. You are a liar. Say to the whole human race, you are a liar. You are a liar. Look in the mirror at myself. You are a liar. You are a liar. I know I am. I know I am. That's so good. Thank you, Jesus. I am a liar. You are a liar. World, you are a liar. And it's in the air. And it poisons people. You are poisoning people every day. You are a liar. There is no reality there from God. There is not the answer. Yes, there is. There is a ministry of common grace. Yes, God has everything in his balance. But if you understand what I'm saying, that you will crucify Christ tomorrow if you can. Because you're an enemy of his. But he is the answer. And I just say today that I want revival in America based on this. We want revival in America based on this. I want to have conviction in my heart and persuasion. I want you to be different because of the Spirit of God. I don't want you to be just fooling around. I want you to be serious with God. I want you to be on your knees before God. I want you to be dead honest with God. I want you to be humble before God and look for God and find him. I want you to make decisions in your life, good decisions, not bad ones, but good decisions in your life and find and taste and see the Lord is good. Many Christians are finding. You find obedience to God by faith at the cross, and then you taste and see the Lord is good, and you say, that's what I'm looking for. That'll satisfy my longing heart. That'll satisfy my thirst. That'll fill me with the Spirit every day. Don't just be here because your friend is in this church. Do not just be here hanging out because your parents are here. Don't just be here because, you know, you like it. You just like to be here. Be here because the Spirit is moving. Because you believe it. Because the Spirit is speaking to you. Because you believe it. Because you got something going on with God. And the Spirit is moving. Because, sisters and brothers, listen. What's going to happen in our country? There's no guarantee how things are going to go in our country. I hope the best. I hope the best. But it's crazy. How can they be talking like they're talking? How can this be happening? How can everybody there crooked be saying everything is right? We're all this way. It's all the way it is. Everybody, we're all like this. No, we're not all like that. I don't believe that. I believe in love. How about love? Let's talk about love. Not fear, not judgment, not hatred. What about love? Why not go up to a policeman and tell him, I'm praying for you? Why don't you go up to somebody in your neighborhood, somebody that's different from you, and say, God has a plan for your life? Why not say, come to church? There's a church that's going, it's very interesting. You never know what you're going to get when you go there. It might be good. It might be bad. Go and seek God. You know, why not? Salt and light. I'm not going to get run over by these people. I'm not going to get run over by them. I got a different way. I got a different way. I might end up in trouble, but that's okay. God will be with me in the trouble. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? I'm not afraid. We're not afraid. We got Jesus. You know, Jesus is with. But if you don't have the right beginning with Jesus, making a decision with Jesus, and how are you going to end up in the right place? How are you going to end up? You think you can plan out your life? You can't plan out your life. You got to be God, your Father, leads you and guides you in your life. That's the way to live. Fearing God. How about that message to Ahab? Ahab says, Elijah, you know, we could say in the Ahab, let me tell you something. You're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. You know what you're missing? Love. You don't have any love in your heart. You know what else you're missing? You don't fear God. If I was you, I'd fear God. Ahab, you're in trouble. I'd fear God if I was you. You get right with God. I mean, you get all the stuff and you hear truth. And Ahab, you embrace God and God's grace, and God will forgive you and straighten you out. You need the new birth. You need help. And that's what we're doing every day with our evangelism in our ministry to people, because it's in us by our new birth. Okay, amen. Lord, we just think that maybe somebody's here because their boyfriend is here. They don't have a clue what's going on. Maybe somebody's here, their girlfriend is here, or they're looking for a girlfriend. This is what one man said to me. I started going to church because I wanted to find a good Christian woman for my wife. And I said, how's that going for you? He goes, well, that's another story. But that's why I came. But now it's changed. Maybe you're here for, I don't know what reason, but I want to say to you, we're very glad you're here. And we want to say to you that Jesus is the answer for your life. And we want you to say in your heart, I want you, Jesus. I want you. I want you in my life. I've been raised a certain way and I've got issues, but I believe Jesus is the answer. I have bad habits. I got problems, but I believe Jesus is the answer. I'm in unbelief and fear, but I believe Jesus is the answer for my life. I need a spiritual family. I need God to be my Father and Jesus to be my Savior. Please accept Him and love, receive His love for you today. In His name, amen.